Stroll Show.
Right here, Radio Free Brooklyn, as always, sitting across from me.
It's the C, and it hurts when I pee. Over there is the flow, just so you know.
What's up? I pee okay.
Well, I just get, yeah, you know, full disclosure, me and the big boy here had a long, late night last night.
Yeah, late one.
In the name of one, Andrew, our friend, because his birthday, we went out to the city, which we don't usually do. We don't really, we're not really city goers.
We're getting old now. That's the problem.
Yeah,
I guess. I never like going to the city though.
Me either. And I don't particularly.
We're just like, oh, you know, it really just sucks.
Maybe we're just not old. We're just lame.
Yeah, maybe that could be it.
We just don't like to do anything. But you know, we're here. We're doing it. We're ready to. We got Slingshot Dakota on today on the show. Very excited. They're a cool two piece out of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
That's right. I'm very excited about that.
Steve is an alum of Pennsylvania State University.
That's right. Not the Ivy League one. Not UPenn.
Yeah. Well, you know, no one expects that of you, bro.
I hope not.
If you were doing that, then you'd...
Then I was severely disappointed everyone in my life to this point.
Go Lions. Why not?
It's like, go Lions. It's like a high school football radio show now.
The Nittany Lions. Isn't that what they were?
They were the Nittany Lions.
Anyway, so we're going to talk to them. But first, I have a couple important questions that we need to ask right off the top of
all
the
right.
show.
Okay, I want to answer them for you.
We got to get this off. I got to get this off my chest. I've been thinking about this all day.
Damn it. This day just started.
Okay. And this is it.
All right.
Do you ever think about what it's like to be a bird?
Oh, man. This is a problem when Paul and I stuck in traffic on the BQE. And we saw a nice bird just chilling. He was just chilling on the side of the highway there.
He was chilling. And Steve was like, you know, sometimes I think I wish I was a bird. I'm like, oh, wow.
That was... it was interesting. I made it sound nice. I was like...
No.
It was very poetic.
Very genuine. Very genuine.
I'm one of those creative types, as some would say.
Yeah, as some might say. Yeah, but you know, I really got thinking about it. Like, what would it be like to be a bird? I wonder, you know, I mean, it's probably nice. They'd just be like, yeah, fuck this. I'm going to fly.
That's right. So the only fear they have is cats, right? Oh, shit, cats.
That's true. Cats and...
Probably anytime it rains.
Depending on what type of bird you are, you could fear humans. They don't kill you.
Yeah, I feel like a turkey, right?
Yeah, definitely a turkey.
Especially around Thanksgiving time.
I always find it funny that the president every year pardons a turkey.
Yeah. And then they slaughter millions of others.
I want President Trump to not pardon a turkey this year. People will fucking freak out if
he's just like, how can I just rile up everybody all the time?
Or he says he's gonna pardon it, and he's like, you're fired. And he just fucking slices its head off like
Facebook
fucking.
Lives. Everyone's like, oh, that was. just no one knows what to say.
Your dinner. Yeah, he just kills it.
No, you guys want to like this thing is huge.
Oh, Oh, that's our new thing. We're going to start doing that now. Tell us that if that gets annoying.
Yeah, please, please do. DestroShowBK on Twitter.
Another serious question.
Yeah, we had a few. We actually had a, is this going to be a request from a certain somebody?
I believe it is.
Okay, yeah, we had a certain friend of ours, Vinny, messaged me the other day and had a certain question he wanted me to bring and pose to the group as a, or just Paul in this situation.
But also to our listeners. And again, we thank you for listening. If you're listening to The Stroll Show on Radio Free Brooklyn, we appreciate every one of your ears. Yeah. I only appreciate one ear per person. I don't have enough appreciation. I can't appreciate both your ears.
Yes.
I appreciate one.
So anyway, so Vinny wanted to know. I'm sorry. But Vinny wanted to know. He was like, yo, Steve. He's like, what do you think Frank Sinatra would do in 2017 if he was an artist today? Like, would he use all the social media accounts?
Basically, what would
old Blue Eyes
what
do?
I don't even know. Who are we talking about?
Frank Sinatra. Talking about Frank Sinatra.
Oh, we're talking about Frank Sinatra. Yeah. I know. I knew that. I just I went blank for a second.
That's okay. Pull in dark.
I went dark for a second. What would he tweet about today? Would he comment on the social scene?
I don't know. Like, he just was a different time. Like, that didn't require social media to even exist. So I don't. Like, he'll tweet, of course, because you can't not tweet in today's day and age. I mean, look, everyone tweets. Even the president's tweeting. Like,
that's true.
Everyone's got a tweet. If you don't have a Twitter, it's like you don't exist anymore.
But I don't really tweet.
No, but you don't matter.
Oh, that's
right. You're not a person of importance.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, neither. I don't have a Twitter. I deactivated my Twitter account. That's how much I like Twitter.
But let's put ourselves in. Okay.
In old Blue Eyes. You keep calling old Blue Eyes.
In old Blue Eyes. When did he die? Do you know? Did he die in like the 90s?
98, I think.
Oh, wow.
I actually looked this up not too long ago. Totally unrelated.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I mean, it's topical, so it works.
Yeah.
Thanks for your information.
You're welcome. You're very welcome.
I appreciate that. Just trying to think of like what, because there's really no point of reference, because he died before social media was invented.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he could have had a MySpace, like the very least at the time.
Maybe.
But that's stupid. Like, he was an old, you know what, Vin? Listen. I'm going to say this right now.
Take it down, Vinny.
Vinny, who we love, and he's always up.
And we wonder is up.
And I value him as a friend and a confidant.
Good man. He's always asking us, telling us things that we should talk about. Appreciate you, Vinny.
You know, Vinny,
I appreciate both your ears.
Yeah, he would have to. He would have to have a Twitter. No questions asked. He would have to be present in all these social media accounts. Would he run it? I don't think so. Like, you think Beyonce runs that Twitter account?
Nah.
You think?
It's too much. There's too much.
I don't know who else. But most famous people have people run it. They have like ghost Twitterers. You know,
that's true.
They come in and type it out, bang 120 characters right quick. You know,
that's right? Yeah, and they're like it's like an art to putting 120 characters into one thing.
It's just like a Vine, you know, like 7-second videos or something. It's like it had to be so, you had to capture so much in so short a period of time.
Some of those Vines are really good. But I have an important question related to what we were talking about.
Yes, of course.
What do you think, do you think that his Twitter handle would be at Old Blue Eyes?
I hope it is. I mean, if Ian has to pay to get that one back, I would.
Someone's probably got it.
Yeah, already. I mean, if anyone, I'm selling my own Twitter handle at Tremendous Clips. If anyone wants,
it's true,
to buy that off of me, that's going to cost you about 7 figures. So now we'll talk off mic on that. So let's get into Slingshot Dakota, because they're going to call in a few minutes. I believe Carly's calling in. I've been talking to her for the last couple weeks. She's super excited, and we're super excited to have them on.
We're excited too. Yeah, I'm pumped. We were kind of jamming some of the older stuff, but they do have a new release. I think there's a full album coming in March.
I believe so as well. We will find out all about this.
It's called Broken, the album, or whatever. There's two songs on Spotify right now that are related to this new release, and I will play one of them for you.
Ah.
This one is called Grudge by Slingshot Dakota, and we'll be back with the band after this. You're listening to The Stroll Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm cold. I'm actually some shit.
It is cold. I'm wearing
put my jacket on during the break.
Yeah, keep warm, big boy.
I will. We'll be right back.
Hey, Carly.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing? It's Steve and Paul from the Stroll Show. How you doing?
Hi, how's it going?
I hear myself over there. What's going on?
Not much. Hang on.
You caught us mid-song. Sorry. We were jamming to one of your new songs. It's cool. It's cool.
Heck yeah. I called while you were playing it in case I needed to settle anything before.
Yeah, people always wonder, like, if there's going to be someone, like, an operator or something.
We have no operator. That's unfortunate.
We are the operators. You're talking to the two men that operate the show.
Did I just interrupt my own self?
You Rickrolled yourself.
Oh, no.
It's okay. Hey.
Sorry.
It's okay. We'll have more time later to listen to music. Don't worry. The main thing is we want to talk to you, so let's start.
Listen to this song because it's really good. It'll be on the internet forever.
That's right. It's never going anywhere.
Finish listening to it.
Cool. So how you doing on this Sunday? How you feeling?
I'm amazing. I had a bagel in honor of being on this Radio Free Brooklyn show.
Awesome.
Today.
Yeah.
Because you know we have good bagels.
In Pennsylvania, we have really terrible bagels. And I basically get bagels from Long Island whenever I visit my family and throw them in the freezer. And today there was a really sad amount of bagels left and me and Tom ate them. So... So we could really feel one with you all today.
Wow.
Oh, that's good. See, here's the, like, there's certain spots of Brooklyn that have really good bagels. And we're in Bushwick right now. And the bagels, we got to say, we've sampled a few of the shopkeeps around. And their bagels are not that good.
Weak bagel game around in this area.
No, that makes me so sad.
Yeah. But I like the idea of freezer bagels.
I would say that Bushwick's worst bagel is probably still better than Pennsylvania's best bagel, though.
Wow. I don't understand.
And I apologize to my now home state of Pennsylvania. I do apologize. You're really great in many other ways, but the bagel is not a strong point here. The pretzel, we're good with pretzels.
The pretzels are good. Is Hanover over there? I'm trying to think. It's a good pretzel down there.
Is Hanover here, Tom? An hour and a half away. An hour and a half away, Tom said.
Oh, okay. So still Pennsylvania, though?
Yeah, still Pennsylvania.
All right, that's good. So I know my pretzels.
yeah. This is it sometimes.
This reminds me of a picture I actually saw on your guys' Facebook where it's like one of my favorite pictures ever. It's like you guys holding hands, riding a rocket keyboard into space, and in space is a bagel and a bunch of tacos. So obviously bagels are a theme. There's a theme there.
We're obsessed with food, but I think the first time that when we released our first record on our own, I had told Tom that I wanted the CD to look like an everything bagel. And he vetoed my idea so strongly, and I was really upset. And then the other day, he goes, "They're putting glitter in vinyl now. What if we did everything bagel seasonings in vinyl?"
Oh, my God.
That was my idea. Also, wouldn't that be way too coarse for vinyl? Wouldn't it, like, throw it off?
It would have to be very thick wax. It would have to be, like, really, like, 200 gram or something. Like.
I don't know the grams very well.
Like maybe really small poppy seeds. I don't know.
But then it's just a poppy seed bagel.
Would it be on brown vinyl, and then you kind of spring like a tan vinyl, and then you kind of put all like the like black?
It's getting out of control.
Right? I'm just thinking that'd be an awesome idea.
I like it.
We just got to make this happen.
Probably that. And then you know, obviously the artwork would have to be bagel centric as well. You know.
Oh, I want this to be real.
We love food, obviously. But that picture, our friend Marty was learning, I don't know, some like new version of, what was he learning?
I don't know.
Some new program on his computer, and we were his guinea pigs, and we were basically just shouting things at him to do. And he did it, and he made this like 30-second clip of us riding into space on this keyboard. And then in addition to making this dope video, we then have screenshots of it, and... I honestly just want to use that as our promo photo for the rest of my life. You know, as unprofessional and silly as it is, there's really no other photo that we've ever taken that really conveys who we are.
It speaks to me. I got to be honest.
It was awesome.
It spoke to me, and it's kind of summed you up. And now speaking to you guys, I can see the connection to the photo. it's all making sense.
And it also kind of answers your question about what it would be like to be a bird, you know?
Yeah. They love bagels as well.
Space and just, you fly high enough, you're not going to be dealing with any cats.
That's it. I see you did listen. You did. That's what we do. We talk the show out before we even get here because we got to drive about a half hour to get here. So
all the best material happens in the car ride on the way over. So we have to try to remake it.
Remake the magic happen.
But yeah, let's talk about you guys a little bit, and we can get back to bird talk. And I also want to get your thoughts on the Sinatra situation with Twitter.
Oh yeah.
But we'll end with that. But I guess I ask the boring questions, like how long have you guys been doing this together? I mean, you guys are, you know, more than just a band. You know, you're together. So like, what did it all kind of like happen naturally, or how did it? What was the birth of the group?
Dakota started in about 2003. It started with my friends from Long Island, with my friends Pat and Jeff, and we were more kind of like almost like a low-key college indie rock. We weren't as heavy as we are now. And over time, our then drummer was in another band called Louderman, and they were going to be doing a lot more touring. So Tom joined the band just to fill in drums. We were doing a European tour with this band called Maserati, who are amazing. And so he joined just to fill in, and then he ended up sticking around long-term. So the band has been around since 2003. Tom joined in 2005. So I've been playing music with Tom for 12 years now at this point.
Wow.
We actually just found a box of photos yesterday at practice, and I was like, this is crazy, because it was a picture of me and Tom together in some club in Germany. And it was, you know, we were very much new friends at that point. Like, we were both dating other people. He was at that point just a fill-in drummer. And so we kind of had that, like, very new element to our friendship where we knew each other and we liked each other. But, you know, when you meet someone new and then you travel with them, you're like, it's kind of awkward because you don't really know them.
So yeah.
You can't really come to them with all of your problems, or if you're having a weird day. It's like, still too new to kind of relate on that level. So I found this picture and it was incredible. And then it was just eye-opening to realize how long we've known each other. But yeah, we became a two-piece in 2006. Our friend Jeff, who was playing guitar, he wanted to go back to teaching. And so then me and Tom were like, well, we have tour books. We're going to keep doing this. And I think our intention was to feel it out and see if we needed to get another guitar player or a bass player or something. And as time went on, we just realized that it was really easy to be two people traveling as opposed to three or four or five. And we've just kept it as it is. And, you know, I'll add new pedals or new amps. And we've tried to figure out our set sonically so that it doesn't feel like anything's missing when we play live. And it's been awesome. But, yeah, we just started off as bandmates. He was a fill-in drummer. Then he became our full-time drummer. You know, we just really clicked. And the first tour that me and Tom did as a two-piece, we really got to know each other because it wasn't like it was three people kind of balancing all of our personalities together. It was just me and Tom. And I think it gave us the experience to actually get to know each other,
right,
and to really just talk a ton when we were on tour. And that's when we started to realize that we kind of liked each other, but it still took a while after that for us to start dating. So we started off just straight up as friends and bandmates, and then, you know.
So you guys found some stuff to talk about on those tour rides?
Yeah, then we just started doing the weird drunk makeout thing, and I was like, this is cool.
This can happen post-show all the time?
Yeah, I know. I was trying to be cool. I was like, this is just a one-time thing. We're cool. We're in a band. Band is priority. This is fun, but it can't happen all the time. And then, like, every time I would say this can't happen again, it would happen again.
Right.
You know, when you're trying not to do something, it's that much more sexy, and you just want to do it. So
it's funny because this exact scenario happens with me and Steve all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes I'm just like, damn, I gotta
look at them on that mic.
It's just the way the world works, you know? When someone tells you you can't do something, you just want to do it.
That's right.
Forbidden fruit.
Yeah. Literally and figuratively.
That's awesome. I mean, hey, it sounds like a very natural and beautiful...
making music together.
Yeah,
you know?
That's beautiful. Legitimately. That's cool. Nice one, Steve. Good.
You like that?
You get a bonus.
That's right. You hear that?
But I could speak a lot to the two-piece element because I'm in a two-piece myself with my cousin, and I've been doing it with him for like 10 years. I don't make out with him, but we play music together and we've toured a lot together. And, you know, I'm interested in your perspective of like the live aspect of being a two piece. Cause I find it being very freeing. Like, I'm a drummer, it's drums and guitar. You guys are drums and keyboard. And, you know, there's almost the beauty in the simplicity of it. And, you know, you can make it more complicated with the pedals and all that stuff. But, I mean, do you find that, like, you like the freedom of just being two people and you can kind of go wherever you want sonically as long as your partner is there kind of as your safety net, you know?
Yeah, I do like that. And I think I've also just gotten really used to only balancing one other person. Because even when we tour with other bands and stuff, like, there's times where I miss having other people, and I miss having the freedom to, like, actually, like, the one thing that I wish I could do, which I'm sure I could if I had, like, some kind of pedal to do it or whatever, is, like, I wish I could get away from my keyboard sometimes and just, like, crowd surf.
Yeah.
Or, like, do something where I didn't have to be stuck behind my keys. Like, that's probably the one thing that I wish I could do that makes it really hard when it's just me and Tom. But I think the fact that it's become so natural just to deal with Tom and that we know each other so well. We knew each other always as musicians and friends, and obviously now, like, as a relationship, but our connection is so strong that in that it is really freeing, and then I feel really comfortable, and we know kind of how to jam off of each other if we're kind of going off of what our set is,
right,
or, you know, what a moment is, like, when we're playing live, and it's just really easy, and there's times where I forget that there's bands that have multiple people in them, and you have to, like, balance all those personalities, and you have to balance everyone being in tune or someone's amp breaking or whatever. And I definitely feel very spoiled in that element where, like, I don't miss having other people play with us, although I know that it could be really fun and it could sound really great if we did. But yeah, I it is really freeing and it is really fun, and it almost, like, it's more exciting, like, when we'll jam with other people. And I'm like, all right, this is what it's like to have a band. But in terms of touring, I don't miss having other people in our band because it is really easy.
Yeah, that's
and
really.
And we just know each other so well that, like, we just get to do what we love, and we get to, for the most part, do it pretty well, unless we're having, like, a weird night or something. But we can just really connect, and we kind of know, we can tell when the other person's trying to convey something to each other, for the most part. We've got our, like, little mannerisms and stuff, and yeah, I think it's just, for me, the less people involved, the less drama you're going to have, you know? And so, like, we just never really have any problems unless there's, like, a gear problem, you know, or something that we can't control.
Or, like, the van breaks down.
Yeah,
or something
you can't control.
Yeah, that always sucks, no matter how many people are in your van or band.
Because no one knows how to change a tire.
What's your feelings on that, Tom?
I feel the same way. I don't know if there's any... pretty much covered it all.
Well, there you have it.
Well, it's gotta be easier that way, because at least with, like, you know, significant other, it's easier to, like, talk through things, you know what I'm saying, like, as opposed to, like, having a friend or, like, another bandmate, you may house that, you know, like, oh man, he's not really doing something. But at least with, like, you know, this is your spouse or, you know, you could just say it. You're like, listen, you just kind of,
yeah,
the hell's wrong with you today or something. You could just let it get out, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what sometimes that I forget about, because then, you know, we'll tour with other bands and I'm like, hey. And I'm like, all right, I have to remember how to talk to other people that aren't Tom, because I'm constantly just talking with my husband and my bandmate, and, like, we have our relationship down pat. But if we're, you know, we're touring with another band that we're friends with but not necessarily, like, in tune with completely,
right,
I want to make sure that, like, maybe my advice or something isn't coming across as, like, a crazy person or, you know, I don't ever want anyone to think I'm looking down on them. Or that I'm trying to be, like, a control freak. But there's times where I'm like, oh, right, I connect so well with Tom, and that we kind of have things down to a T that not everyone else has that. I want to help them and, like, tell them, like, little things that they could do when they're touring to, like, help it along better. But I also don't want to step on anyone's toes, and I also have to remember that the way that me and Tom talk to each other is just so different than how other bands talk to each other. So
right.
I kind of get stuck in my own world with that sometimes.
But you've also have a lot of experience too, so, like, you know, people should take your advice if you're offering it too, you know.
Yeah, they do. I just always get worried. I always worry. I'm a little worrywart, you know.
Don't worry.
I want everyone
it's
to
fine.
Be happy, and then I just, you know, like I said, I'm so used to just being with Tom when I'm talking to other people. I'm like, oh no, am I mean? I don't know.
But do you ever think of, like, you know, like, sometimes with my band, that like when you're in a two piece, there kind of is room to, you know, maybe every once in a while add, like, you know, like, sometimes, like, we jam with a horn player, or we have this friend who plays 8-string bass, and, like, we don't we make recordings with them, but we don't like tour with them or anything. But like, do you ever have like a guest spot,
a guest
or
collab?
Like, yeah, like or something, just like when you do a three piece for a night or whatever.
We haven't done it lately. Our friend Melissa has been doing miming at like our local shows, which is really awesome because it's so weird. Like she has no mime training. She just does like comment. Like she'll do a mime pose where she's looking at her cell phone for like 20 minutes, and it's kind of the best thing ever because people don't know what it is and they're like, "Is this what you do now? Do you have a mime with you all the time?" And so I kind of like that people get really confused and or mad and or excited. Because she's amazing, and just having her presence there is awesome. And then when we toured with Title Fight, we did a Nirvana cover, and Chris from Cruel Hand joined in and played guitar, and it was amazing. It was, like, probably the most fun I've ever had, because he wouldn't even, like, get close to us. He would almost stand, like, at the edge of the stage and just do his guitar parts and just wail out, and, like, his hair would be all over the place. And I'm like, you can come closer to us. I don't know why you're not... You should, you know, you're part of this song right now.
Yeah.
Did he let you crowd surf during that part?
You know, that's what I should have done.
That was your chance.
So that I could. I know. One of these days it's going to happen. Tom frickin' did it once.
Oh, Tom, you did it?
Crowd surf somehow? Yeah, how the heck did you do it?
In the beginning of the Ohio.
When oh.
Intro, and I jumped off my seat.
All right, so clearly we need to write a song that has...
Yeah, you got to get out there and crowd surf.
Or here's an idea.
Keytar.
Get a keytar.
Or player piano.
Keytars are sadly way cooler looking than they are sounding.
Yeah.
No.
But I do dream. I just watched a Beastie Boys video of them in Woodstock, and like there's a keyboard taped to like a table, and the dude's just like kicking it around. I don't even know if you can hear it. I don't even know if it gets unplugged, but it. I was like, dang. That's just so fun to look at. Like, it doesn't sound good, but...
The visual
great.
Is insane.
Yeah, I just need to get a fake keyboard that I could throw around.
This is kind of random.
What?
No, yeah, continue. I'm sorry. I thought you were... I cut you off. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I just want to throw around my stuff sometimes and not break it, so I need a prop. I think that's what I need.
Yeah. I heard that... I forget what band it was, but... I can't remember. Honestly, like I was thinking about this now. There was just some band that like you would take around a beat up guitar, like a you know Squire or something that was all taped up. And at the end of the show, they would break that guitar rather than break, you know, like their actual good equipment.
That's a smart move.
I can't remember who it was though. I want to say, I don't know. I can't. I'm not gonna
just say Aerosmith. Just say
actually,
Aerosmith.
Aerosmith did come to mind too. Aerosmith did come to mind too because.
But they can afford to break the expensive stuff.
That's right. They could.
No one wants to.
And actually, too, the fact you bring up Aerosmith. I watched this video of Aerosmith, a live video, and it's funny because it's related to pianos too. There's a connection here. I'm gonna just get it out real quick, and then we'll get back to you guys. Aerosmith is so vain that they want to sound like they're such a full band, but they don't want to admit that they have like backing musicians, like keyboards and like singers and stuff. So it was like an old video of them in like the 90s when they were making like their comeback with like crying, whatever that shit was. So it was like some Jules Holland or something like that. I don't know. But it was on YouTube and like the camera pans around and they're like going at it. And behind the stack of I assumedly fake amps, there is a poor fucking keyboard bastard playing like hidden behind the amps.
Oh, my God.
Like and the camera just catches it and then like quickly switches to the other.
Oh, that's not the guy. That's not
yeah,
the guy.
Like what are you talking about? Anyway, that's my random Aerosmith fact of the day.
I love it. Oh my God.
The stuff the pros don't want you to see.
Oh, that's so lame.
Yeah.
That's so silly.
Well, look.
I would totally love more jamming with other people because it is really fun and you know, again for traveling it's really easy just for me and Tom to like be ourselves, but it is really fun to have like special nights where we jam out with friends. I always want to have our friend Bobby, who's in the band Cloakroom, who's amazing. He's one of my favorite bass players in the entire world, and I just always want him to record with us and or hop on a show or I would take him on tour because he's basically like our brother and or son, so we would just easily travel with him. But yeah, I'm always open to hanging out and jamming with other people because it is super fun, and it's nice to get you know, get out of our own comfort zone and get other ideas from other people and just feel that other energy around us is rad.
Yeah, and you know, can influence your future songwriting. You never know, you know, like even if you don't,
heck yeah.
You know, do you play guitar at all? Like sometimes? And,
I do.
Cool.
Moving on.
I was classically trained on piano, but then I taught myself guitar when I was a teenager. And I love both of them, but I think it's been a conscious decision, both because I hate tuning guitars and I hate changing strings. And the fact that the piano is stereotypically like the most uncool instrument ever. And so it's been like my mission to make it cool. Because like the only cool keyboards that like get a pass in this world, I feel like are like Moogs and like the that red Nord keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is in fact very cool, obviously. But like no one thinks like an 88 key digital keyboard is cool. And so like as much as I do play guitar and like sonically I love guitars, I've almost like been more stubborn in my mindset of being like, I can play guitar, but I refuse to tour on it because I want people to roll their eyes when they see my keyboard and then be completely blown away at like what is happening.
That's so awesome. I like that.
You know, it's a conscious decision, for, you know, to not play it. But there's times where I'll bring it on tour and like, there's an acoustic song that we have called Too Much. And I brought my guitar out for that. But again, it's like for a couple of songs, to carry this thing around and then have to tune it, I just don't feel like it. Like my keyboard's in tune all the time. I have to deal with it.
Yeah. But and you're already lugging around a huge
yeah, that's
keyboard,
big enough. That's so. Big enough.
Yeah, that and all the amps. And like that's the thing too. If we stayed a 2-piece band with a guitar, I would need like a bass cab and then a guitar amp. And like the system that we use right now is we basically have like 2 PA systems. And if it's like a DIY club, we'll set both of them up. And if it's like a, you know, a venue that has a really good sound system, I'll basically just use one of my PA systems as like a keyboard amp. But they're basically easy to carry around because we're carrying around like, you know, 3 or 4 speakers, which is way easier than carrying around an 810 or,
yeah,
you know, some kind of bass cab that, you know, we're getting old. Our backs hurt. Like, we want to put all of our energy
in. You need the icy hot.
Not carrying everything.
Well, that's cool. So you run everything. You run everything through PA system. You don't have like regular, you know, traditional amps like Marshalls or whatever. I don't know.
No, I had keyboard amps for a really long time, and I was literally setting them all on fire. and I had to call Sweetwater and talk to them, and I was like, "Hey, I don't know what's going on. Like, I've been using the system forever, and I don't know if, you know, running a keyboard through these pedals is wrong or, you know, what I'm doing." And they were just like, "You need more wattage. Like, you just need a really good sound system that can handle the range of volume that your keyboard's putting out and that has a lot of wattage." So, like, they were one of the first companies to really be excited about my setup and not try to tell me, like I've gone to Guitar Center and they'll kind of tell me, like, "What are you doing? You should be playing out of this and this." And they have their opinions. And the people at Sweetwater are really nice. I guess I'm plugging them right now. So go to
check
Sweetwater.
Is it .com?
But they were here. Sweetwater.com. You'll get candy with your order.
is that true?
Yeah, they were really nice. And, like, ever since then, like, I basically have one of my PA systems is 1,000 watts, and the other one is 1,000 watts plus a subwoofer if I plug it in. And it can handle all of the craziness of my sound. So it can handle the lows pretty well. Like, that's where a bass cab would come in really handy, but like my subwoofer puts out enough. And then the high end, you know, with the tweeters and my speakers can handle the high end of my keyboard. So it's really great. Like, I just have to monitor like my pedals. Sometimes if I'm really sludging it up, I'll smell a little plastic burning. And
oh boy.
I have to like reel it back and figure stuff out. But it's been the most effective system, both sonically and also just like to carry around and travel with. So yeah, that's what I've been using probably for the past 6 years. It's been my setup, and it's been really great.
It's insane to think about, like, you know, you're such a nice person, and like you're on stage, you're like, I just imagine this. You're just like setting shit on fire and like this burning plastic, and you're just delivering these monstrous sounds.
It's with mimes playing in the corner, just like, who is this? Who are these guys?
Oh, that's so rad. That's so rad.
Yeah, but I guess what I want to talk about too, you guys are going on tour because you're talking about traveling a lot. And so I'm seeing you guys are taking a little spring tour this year with Rat Boys.
Yes. Yeah, I heard you talking before about our record. So our record Break came out last March, but we had 2 songs that didn't make it onto that record that made it onto a 7-inch that we're releasing for this tour, and then we're doing a UK tour in May as well.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, so we're doing the spring tour that starts this Friday with Rat Boys, and we're basically doing, like, a little, some East Coast shows. We're definitely playing New York. We're playing Shea Stadium on Monday the 5th, I think it is.
It looks like a 6th, March 6th.
Yes, March 6th, Monday. It's going to be amazing. And so we have, like, I think about 3 weeks or so of shows. And they're our friends. They're an amazing band. We got to play a couple of shows with them on the last tour that we were on in the fall. And so we're excited to partner up with them. And we basically booked these shows because we're going to South by Southwest. So it's kind of like a little quick run of shows on the East Coast, diagonal to Austin, and then kind of go home. And then in May, we go to the UK for a week of shows. And that 7-inch was released both by Top Shelf and Specialist Subject in the UK. That way people can get it both here and then also when we're on tour in the United Kingdom. So, yeah, we're busy bees. We have that tour coming up, and then the UK tour is with Petal, who's also amazing. And we're going to be backing her when we're over there, which is going to be really fun.
Yeah, I think I've heard of her. Didn't she play with Kevin Devine, Steve?
Who's that?
Yeah,
Petal,
she
right?
just did that
yeah.
tour with Kevin Devine and Pine Grove and... Well, I feel like there's someone else on that tour, and I can't think of it right now.
That's good enough, though. That's a lot of good bands right there. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I know. We are very fortunate to know really great people who are incredibly talented, and it just makes doing this that much more fun to just, like, support our friends and then hopefully get to tour with them.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it's all about now. You know, like, I mean, in music today is really weird, and, like, you know, there's really no, like, not really very many good outlets for... you know, indie bands to get noticed. So, I mean, you're really just doing it as like a, you know, like a labor of love, and you get to be with cool people and make your art. And that's all you really could ask for in music these days.
And,
I don't know.
And both me and Tom grew up in our respective towns, like punk and hardcore scenes. So like this whole new system of the industry of like everyone having a booking agent, like there's so many bands that literally form and then they're like, all right, we have a tour. And I'm like, what tour did they get? They just formed. And a lot of these bands have agents right out of the gate, which is fine. Like, people can do whatever they want. But when I grew up in music, that was not the norm at all, ever, unless you were, like, a huge band. And so we have all the tools from growing up of booking your own tour and, you know, like, just having all of those values of a community and, you know, working with your friends to book shows or working with your friends to help them book shows and just, like, you know, all work together for the things that you love to do. So that's really helped us out along this whole trip of being, you know, a band for over 12 years because we know how to book our own tours, whether or not someone's asking us to do it. So we've got the experience of being on tours that were booked by agents, and we have the ability to also book our own tours. So that basically keeps us busy all of the time because we're never just waiting around for someone to ask us on tour. We just do whatever we want. So
that's badass.
It's really awesome. And like, we've got friends that are totally down. We have friends that have agents that, you know, they can come on tour with us. You know, the agents are down with them doing whatever they want. So it's nice. It's like a really nice mix of touring for everybody. Like not only just us, but, you know, bands like Petal who will do support tours for, you know, for bigger bands or she'll do her headlining tours or she'll come with us on our tours. And it's nice. Also because her, like, Petal's audience gets to see these different style of touring, too, which I think is important for people to see the difference between, like, these big headlining industry agency tours and then, like, a DIY tour because the element is that, like, they're basically the same. Like, it's all about the show, you know? But I feel like it's really important on the tours that we book to include local support. And I love, like, going to each city and seeing what bands are playing at the time and what kids are really into, and I think that's something that sometimes gets cut out of bigger tours, that it's a lot of, like, package, you know, bands and stuff, which is fine, but I love getting inspired by other bands whenever we're traveling, so I love to be a part of that, and I love to include bands that normally don't do that kind of tour onto our tour, because I think it's eye-opening for everybody.
Yeah, I have a question now. Is there a band you would want to open for? Like, it's like a bigger band, you'd be like, I want to really...
Wow. Sounds like you got enough.
Oh,
you don't need to do anything else.
We
but
have
I mean,
a lot. So we have a list going. I forget. I'm trying to. Well, Pearl Jam was one of them.
That'd be awesome.
Right, Tom? Yep. Pearl Jam was one of them.
That's a dream.
Juliana Hatfield is one of them, because, well, especially Tom, like, grew up loving her. What's on our list? Y-Oak, they're amazing. Anything Jenny Lewis, because I love Jenny Lewis. We're just the weird band always, because us opening up for any of these people, like, we're the band that just never really makes sense on anything because we're hard to pigeonhole, so we would rock it on any of these tours. People, again, would be like, what is this? Erykah Badu, that would be fun.
Oh, man, I could see that working, actually.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of all my awesome lists. I think we had Weezer on there. If somehow Hole formed again.
Hole! A Hole reference on, yeah. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's how I taught myself guitar playing Live Through This over and over again. Like, I had that on cassette, and I learned every single song on that record, and I would call my friend Donna over and be like, yo, watch me play all these songs. And she'd be like, I'm going to the mall with my mom. And she was too cool. And then she taught herself guitar years later. And then would be like, come over and let's have band practice. And I'm like, what the heck? Years ago, I wanted to show off my whole, no, sorry, that sounds so bad. I wanted to show off my Courtney Love knowledge. And, you know, she learned later how cool it was to play guitar. But
I feel like,
oh, man, I don't know. There's so many people. I will open up for anyone.
I want to see you with Pearl Jam, though, for sure. I would love to see that.
But
which one?
Pearl Jam. I would love to see
but
it.
Thankfully, you're not sitting around waiting for Pearl Jam and Hole to call. You're like, you're doing your own thing,
no,
so that's what's
yeah,
up.
No.
But I feel like,
who did we see? We saw Temple of a Dog at Madison Square Garden, like, the day before Election Day. It was amazing. And we were watching the opening band. There were fine musicians, but we were like, this is so bore, like, this has been done, like, we would be killing it right now. And like, we were like tweeting, like, if you ever want an opener, let us do it. Like, oozing desperation, but also we just don't care, because we're like, give us the opportunity to play anywhere and we will make it worth like everyone's while. Because there's two-piece bands and there's like bands with keyboard, but I feel like, kind of like you said, when me and Tom play live, like, it's really, I don't know. It's hard to talk about ourselves like this, but like, it's just not something that you see all the time. And the sound that comes out of the two of us is not something that people like think is going to happen. And like, we have so many people that are into us that are like punk kids, indie kids, like
hippies.
Like, we're like that band that doesn't really fit in anywhere. So in that regard, we kind of appeal to a lot of people. And so that's why we would be down to open up for anyone, because I feel like given the opportunity, like, we'll just have a blast no matter what. And then, you know, people can decide if they're into us. But either way, they're going to be stoked on what they're seeing, I think. You know, whether or not they're going to buy something, I don't care. But I just want to make their day brighter and be like, look at what you can do with this keyboard. And also watch Tom play drums, because he's a freak.
it's awesome. And I really thank you guys for being with us. And
yeah, this has been fun.
Yeah, this
has
really
been
one of the more fun interviews we've had. And just based on talking to you, I would imagine that seeing you live would be entertaining.
Yeah, I've been enjoying this so much. I don't want it to end.
Yeah, really. But
Shea Stadium, come hang out with us.
Yeah.
Maybe we will. It's a Monday.
It's a Monday, yeah. And, you know, I think it's only three bands or four bands, but we're going to keep it moving because, you know, we have bedtimes and it's
Monday. Okay.
We get it, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. We'll definitely try to get out there. That'd be awesome.
And that's the kickoff to the tour? Or
Oasis afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down.
So that's the kickoff to the tour, or is that...
Oasis right now?
He did plug Oasis. I'm cool with all of that. I'm cool with all of it. We just got to get over
Oasis
there.
Oasis on North... Is it 7th or 6th? Oasis on North 6th.
Right off the train.
Their falafels are $4, and they're gigantic, and they're all you need to eat in a day.
Oh my God!
You got my night planned out now.
I know. Now I just gotta get off of work and I'll be right there.
There you go.
All right, cool guys. Thank you so much. And also, just to wrap up, final question. I want to know what do you think Frank Sinatra's Twitter handle would be?
Yeah,
today? I'm really curious about it.
I think it would be At All Blue Eyes.
I pray to God that it would be that.
It has to be that.
Now you think he would tweet?
I think about this all the time. Like, what would things be like? Years, like, if all this stuff existed years ago, it's such, like, we live in the weirdest time right now. Like, it's a great time, but it's also really weird. And I think, like, a really good way to figure that out is, like, think about, like, I don't know, like, Celine Dion is probably on Twitter. You know?
That's true.
Like, I'm trying to think of, I'm trying to, like, liken someone to Frank Sinatra, which is, like, obviously not, you know, different, but... I mean, everyone has a Twitter. He would definitely have a, at least a team tweeting for him.
Yeah, like some intern. Some, like, Frank Sinatra, like, Twitter intern.
What would the tweets be like?
That's what I'm trying to think.
A cigar.
Yeah. Drinking a glass of scotch right before bedtime. I don't know what he would do. Like, he's, cause to me, he's like a grandpa.
Yeah,
always,
just
right?
Imagine him tweeting like an old man, like saying, "Oh, I don't know, my feet hurt today." Yeah, Christ,
I need some Bengay right now. I don't know what he would say.
Something like that.
I mean, that's basically what our Twitter is.
I don't even know how to use Twitter. I use it, but I don't know if I'm doing it right. Like, I just don't know.
Yeah, Twitter's a mystery to me. But anyway, we gotta kind of wrap.
Phil Hartman. What's that? Phil
Hartman too, right? Yeah. man, I think that's what I. That's what I honestly. The first thing I think of when I think of Frank Sinatra is I honestly go to the Phil Hartman shit. Yeah. Oh my God. Rest in peace, Phil Hartman.
Yeah, Phil. All right, both guys. We'll let you guys go. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Enjoy the last of the frozen bagels.
Thank you.
And hopefully we get to see you guys.
Thank you for having
us on. Oh, not a problem. It's been our pleasure.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care.
Bye. You too. Bye.
Bye. What? Sweethearts.
That was Sweethearts. I enjoyed that very much.
Now, let's listen to some of that music because I need to now.
Yeah, we're going
to
ease out. Let's get something off the... because I know we played one thing off the Broken EP.
I got the other one. This one's called Dying Stars. It's off Broken release. You're listening to The Stroll Show. It's Seeing the Flow. I'll be back after this on Radio Free Brooklyn.
That was nice. As always.
I enjoyed it even more because I know how awesome they are as people.
I know. They're really, really cool. That was Slingshot Dakota. What was the name of that one? That was off the Broken EP. What was that?
That's called Dying Stars.
Dying Stars. That was beautiful. They're going on tour coming up in March. They're playing right here at Shea Stadium, not too far away. And that's March the 6th. You may catch your Stroll Bros over there now. Buy a drink for them for being so lovely.
Maybe we'll be on stage. Maybe they'll let us do a miming.
Oh, maybe. Maybe I can pretend to play an instrument on stage.
I mean, it sounds like they'd be into that.
I know. They'd be, oh, fuck. Hell yeah.
What instrument would you pretend to play?
I
want you to pretend to play like a super low bass. Like,
below my shin.
Yeah.
Kind of like yeah. My arms are long enough. I'm like, nah, I have like orangutan arms, so I could probably reach.
Or kazoo.
Ooh.
Why not?
Hey, I'm open. Or bring that didgeridoo to on stage. And go, go play that. But let's get, we got a few minutes left, so let's get into some more. We got some segments. We got a couple of quick segments.
Yeah, we got what do you want to do? We want to start with.
Oh shit, because you have a cool intro for that, and I get to be fun with that.
Sure. We do have an oh shit moment of the week this week, and here's our drop.
Oh shit. Oh shit.
Oh shit.
All right, here we are in the oh shit segment of the show.
Yeah. Did you like that?
I did like that. That was really nice.
I thought that was good. So,
what you got for me?
You guys may or may not have heard about this. Who are you guys? I assume I'm still just talking to Slingshot Dakota.
And Vinny from UK. What's up, Vin?
But if you listen to this show, you probably know a little bit about indie music and the indie scene, right? The scene, right? The cool scenesters. I hate saying that word. I gotta stop.
Let's go.
Anyway, so we're running out of time. Sorry. We saw this week it was announced that Modern Baseball canceled their entire tour from North America.
Yeah, spring tour with Kevin Devine. Sorority Noise, who I was very excited to see. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
all three of them together would have been awesome.
We were gonna see them at the Warsaw in Brooklyn.
Yeah, March 18th or something like that.
I think that would probably be the biggest venue I'd ever seen Kevin Devine play at.
Aside from Webster Hall.
Oh, yeah, I guess that was.
But that was a 10th anniversary deal.
That's true.
But that was cool.
That was a cool show. But there was a little bit of, I guess, backlash or weirdness about it because it kind of came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah, nowhere.
But it made me say, oh, shit, since it's the oh, shit.
Yeah, so we hope. I think the reason they canceled it was because one of the guys in Modern Baseball had a, he's a little,
some mental issues. I mean, who knows? I mean, but it didn't seem like. Sorority Noise and Kevin Devine were none too happy.
Yeah, I know.
Situation.
It's a tough thing because everyone's you love to rock and you love the guys you tour with, but at the same time, I guess you kind of got to bring home the bacon as well.
Well, yeah, I mean that's really what it's about. I mean, and on top of that,
the paper.
it's about the paper. It was a whole tour that was planned for months.
Yeah,
and they canceled the entire thing, pulled the plug on the thing. It's not like Kevin Devine jumped off of it and he didn't want to do it. But the main band decided literally 2 weeks before they're about to go on the road they're going to stop.
That's a quick deal.
So now, Kevin Devine and Sorority Noise, who aren't,
That'd be good for Kev.
Superstar bands. I mean, they're big to us. But I mean, at the same time, they got to figure out what they're going to do now for the summer.
Yeah, that's a long time. So hopefully they figure out something. Because I haven't seen Kevin in a while. We haven't seen him on the Instigator Tour. We haven't seen him on a lot of stuff, but Sorority Noise is they're building up some steam right now too, so I think it'd be good for. I mean, they could probably find some smaller venues maybe to jump on or something to get a little tour going.
I mean, I'm sure they'll figure it out. I mean, I'm not worried about Kev.
Kev, please come on the show.
Please, Kev, if you're listening to this, please.
Let's come on the show. We've been trying. We've been
trying. Answer our calls, Kev.
Please, you're so close.
Heed our cries.
We're Bay Ridge Bros. Bay Ridge Bros.
Don't tell anybody about that.
Don't tell. No. But we got a few minutes. Let me do my that's ridiculous moment. That's ridiculous.
We need to drop for that one.
I know. We don't have one yet.
We'll get it.
But since it was our buddy Andrew's birthday yesterday, actually. I mean, it's later this week, but we celebrated yesterday. And we put to have a 2-day shindig lined up. Friday night, emo night, and then last night, Fat Baby. And we always love emo night, but no, it was ridiculous. It's sold out.
Yeah.
And then they released 100 tickets on.
It was 100 they released?
100 tickets they released on Thursday night at midnight.
I thought it was 10 tickets. No,
it was 100 tickets. So I thought I was like, yo, this is a lock. I'm going to get some tickets for me and my boys. We're going to go out. You know what I'm saying?
you know what I'm saying?
And then next thing you know, my first mistake was doing it on my phone, but I was laying down. I was tired. I was on the couch.
Hey, man, just it's chilling. Okay. It was midnight.
Yeah. So I go to buy a couple tickets, and it's just they're all sold out. And just like
wow. Did it just say that to you?
Yeah, they're all sold out. Some guy's face going, yeah, it's just sold out. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, for emo night, it's literally guys and a laptop.
So
playing basically your favorite weapon from Brand New for 2 hours straight.
Question though.
Yes. yes, Paul.
How many tickets were originally available? That's what I want to know.
They didn't make mention, but at least a couple hundred because it's in Brooklyn Bowl, so it's a big spot.
Damn.
And I've gone a few times, and it's good for a while, and then I just get kind of bitter because I don't know why. Just like, no one should like stop listening.
You're having fun, and then you just realize where you are and what you're doing, and you're like, wow.
Yeah, it's like, I could be at home doing this, pre-gaming to this. But either way.
That's ridiculous.
That was ridiculous. So with these last few remaining minutes, if you'd like to donate to Radio Free Brooklyn, go to our Patreon page or Radio Free Brooklyn page, rfb.nyc/pledge. Drop a dollar, drop five, drop 20. You get some cool shit. You get a couple snapbacks. You get a couple hoodies. And, you know, you're supporting a good cause. And
keep the radio, keep yeah, the radio
keep
free.
Keep it free. Keep it always. Well, even though it is free already, but they tried to charge for HD radio at some point. But we're not going to talk about that anymore. But we got to ask one more thing before we get out of here today.
Well, let's also first.
Oh yes, yes, of course, of course.
Let us thank Slingshot to go to.
Oh yes, thank you guys and girls so much.
Carly and Tom, really appreciate it. Thank you everybody for listening. I feel like I don't thank the listeners enough.
Yeah, we need to thank them more. I believe.
And there's one person specifically that we have to thank. Yes, Nick. Nick, you know where you are. You got us home safely last night, bro.
Thank you, Nick.
Appreciate you.
Even though Steph threw up in your car, and I'm really sorry for that. And okay. I will text you right after the show to make sure we can make it whole.
No one needs to know.
All right, we got about 30 seconds. So last thing I want to ask you, yo, Vinny.
We know you're listening.
We know you're listening, but are you up, Vinny?
Are you up? You up?